To the 488th episode of Travel It's Radio. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with co-host Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, and this is the first episode of the 12th season. Actually, it's more than the first episode of the 12th season, but we are the show that lets you enjoy the pleasures of travel from the comfort of your armchair.
Every week at this time, we talk to people representing destinations, hotels, airlines, railroads, car rental companies, and others in the world of travel and hospitality, from authors and bloggers to broadcasters and publicists. If it's got anything to do with travel, it's got everything to do with Travel It's Radio.
And tonight, we have a very special edition of our show because our guest is Simi Allen of Yad Vashem, the World Holocaust Remembrance Center in Jerusalem, Israel. A very warm, heartfelt welcome, Simi, to Travel It's Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, Dan.
Well, Simi, thank you for squeezing Travel It's Radio into your busy schedule. I know you're in the U.S. now speaking to us from a conference at the U.N. Tell us what happened with that book of names.
Well, today Yad Vashem inaugurated the Book of Names for Holocaust Victims. It's a book, a literal book that contains the names of 4,800,000 Holocaust victims that were murdered during the Holocaust. And we inaugurated this book, this really extraordinary installation, together with Ambassador Gilad Erdan, the Israel's permanent representative to the United Nations, and in the presence of Secretary General to the Antonio Guterres. And so it was a truly remarkable and historic occasion.
And this exhibit is going to be at the UN in New York for public viewing through February 17th and then moves to Israel. Am I correct?
Correct. The exhibition, the installation of the Book of Names is on display Monday through Friday in the lobby in the Sputnik exhibition hall in the entrance to the United Nations headquarters here in New York, and it will be on display until February 17th when it, and at that point the installation will be removed and then transferred to back to Israel for permanent display and exhibition on the Mount of Remembrance in Jerusalem at Yad Vashem.
And we need to let our listeners know how big it is to display 4,800,000 names. What's the size of this thing? It's enormous, isn't it?
It's a huge. I call it an installation because it truly takes up an entire room. It is around 8 meters long, double-sided, and 2 meters high. So it's around. It's huge. It takes up an entire room here at the United Nations, and it really is a remarkable sight to see, where you see the names and the dates of birth, places of birth, and the places of where they were killed, listed in alphabetical order. It really, truly is humbling to watch and see people looking through the pages, just trying to find their loved ones, trying to find the people who they knew of from this time period, and touching the names. It's a physical memorial for the millions of victims of the Holocaust.
And it has blank pages at the end because you have another million or so people that are not identified yet. Is that right?
So the million, yes, so far Yad Vashem over the last 7 decades has gathered 4,800,000 names. And we know all that during the Holocaust, 6 million men, children, and women were murdered during the Holocaust. And so the 1.2 million names that have not yet been collected and gathered and uncovered are symbolically displayed by the blank pages at the end of the Book of Names in order to signify that that while we might not know their names, we might not know who they were, but we do remember them and we do memorialize them in our hearts and then on the pages of the Book of Names.
I've been to Yad Vashem and can best describe it as the most moving experience of my life. I know it's a tribute to the Holocaust, which cost the lives of at least 6 million Jews and destroyed thousands of communities, but it's much more than that. How would you best describe Yad Vashem to our listeners?
I think that the best way to describe Yad Vashem is that it is a mountain of information. It holds so much more than just a museum or a memorial site to the Holocaust. It contains world-class archives, collections, the world's largest collections of Holocaust-related documentation, artwork, photography. It contains a world-class International School for Holocaust Studies, as well as a world-class International School, International Institute for Holocaust Research. So it is truly a mountain of information, as well as a physical, on top of a physical mountain of remembrance. And therefore, it is
Well, we've lost Simi. I hope that he calls back. This is a mechanical glitch. And I see on the computer that his call has dropped. Hopefully he will call back the same way he called in the first place. But Yad Vashem is on the Mount of Remembrance in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. So we'd like to find out more from him, and hopefully he will call us back. And also like to find out how Yad Vashem was created, how it is funded, the mission of Yad Vashem, and how 21st technology has helped. So we're waiting to get him back. And Mary Ellen, have you ever been to Israel?
No, I've never been to Israel, although I would love to go.
There are also branches of Yad Vashem in other countries, including the United States. So hopefully when Simi calls us back, he'll tell us. And I know that Holocaust survivors go to Yad Vashem. They can actually search for communities and individuals swallowed up by the Holocaust. And people missing for generations have found each other through the effort of Yad Vashem researchers. So Yad Vashem has many, many artifacts in the Holocaust years, and there's actually a Gathering the Fragments program. Since it began in 2011, more than 13,000 people have donated 300,000 items, including 176,000 documents, 114,000 photographs, 5,200 artifacts, 755 works of art, and 191 original films. And it's just amazing that some of these things survived. And it's also true that people, as prisoners, would write poetry or write their prose or even write songs on anything they could find, like Nazi prescription blanks in the medical facilities. It was just amazing that people in those conditions were able to be expressive. Also, International Holocaust Day, Remembrance Day, is this Friday, tomorrow. That's the 27th of January. So things will be going on around the world. Yad Vashem staff members, by the way, visit survivors or their descendants in their homes and also hold collection days close to their places of residence. And Israel's Ministry of Jerusalem and Heritage has helped Yad Vashem. One thing that they have there on the campus, they have something called the Righteous of Nations, Righteous Among the Nations. And those are non-Jews who helped Jews at great risk to their lives during the Holocaust. Now, the Holocaust years coincided with World War II, which was 1939 to 1945. And Yad Vashem, by the way, translates into English as Hand of God. So I guess the hand of God is protecting the memory of those who perished and of the communities that disappeared. If you go to Yad Vashem, as I have, you can see a listing of all the communities and pictures and names of all the individuals. And as Simi mentioned at the outset, 4,800,000 names and hometowns are all listed on this Book of Names project that was unveiled today at the United Nations and will be on display there through February 17th. So I urge all listeners of Travel with
Simi also said that visitors could touch the names?
Yes.
Well,
you can touch the names.
What's the symbolism
there? It's actually
there?
Similar in a way to the Vietnam Wall in Washington, where you can actually touch the names. The difference is there are 53,000 names on the Vietnam Wall as opposed to 4,800,000 with room for 1,000,000 more. That's quite a noticeable difference. And incidentally, mm-hmm. there's several different museums at Yad Vashem. The Holocaust History Museum, the Exhibitions Pavilion, the Art Museum, and the Artifacts Collection. And, you know, when I went up to the Baseball Hall of Fame, they said that they can only display 1% of their collection at a time. I bet that's also true with Yad Vashem. And I bet they have rotating exhibits. I know they have traveling exhibits to try to keep Holocaust education alive. Okay, Simi is back. Simi, thank you so much.
Hi, I'm so sorry. The reception here is not so great in the UN.
Okay, well, we will do what we can, and we went ahead with some of the questions that we knew. Tell us what Yad Vashem law is.
Okay, so in Yad Vashem was created in 1953 by a law that was passed by the Israeli Knesset, the Israeli Parliament. It is a law that delineates the mission and the purpose of Yad Vashem. It has specific, a mission that Yad Vashem, that sets out the mission of Yad Vashem in a very clear manner, that it is dedicated to commemorate the victims of the Holocaust, the victims of the Holocaust being the Jewish victims, the 6 million Jewish men, women, and children that were murdered during the Holocaust. It also, another aspect of the Yad Vashem law is to recognize righteous among the nations, non-Jews who risk their lives to rescue and to help save Jews during the Holocaust. Not all of them maybe were successful, but the idea that they tried and that they attempted to stand up to in the face of evil and to lend assistance to the Jews who were quite frankly were running and were desperate for any assistance whatsoever, and they deserve our appreciation and our gratitude. And so Yad Vashem, over the last 70 years, has been dedicated to uncovering their stories, to identifying those individuals. And up to date, we have recognized over 29,000 individuals who were righteous among the nations, who risked their lives during the Holocaust and to save Jews. There's a list of criteria for those individuals to have met, that they didn't take any compensation and that they did not transgress or did not participate in any other atrocities during the Holocaust in the attempt to rescue and to save Jews. But over the years, Yad Vashem has been tasked with the responsibility to research, to uncover, and to recognize these brave individuals, as well as to recognize those very many Jews who helped themselves, who helped each other, their fellow Jews. No survivor today will say, "Oh, I survived just based on my own resourcefulness." Everyone helped each other, whether it was by picking up an extra slack from their fellow inmate in Auschwitz and doing a little bit extra work in order to help someone who was a little bit weaker than them, or we know of many cases where people changed cards in the changed the selection cards in the camps to identify those who were possibly less likely to survive. And whether in whatever shape or whatever form this rescue, this help, this assistance managed to take place, Yad Vashem is trying to uncover their stories and to tell their stories to the world so that they can know about these brave individuals.
How many visitors come every year, and who are some of the visiting dignitaries you've hosted?
Oh, Yad Vashem, we'll go before Corona and after Corona in terms of visitors to Yad Vashem. So for over the past 2 years, obviously with the pandemic, still in its very much heyday, the numbers Yad Vashem were very diminished. But prior to the pandemic, prior to January 2020, when we were at our possibly at the height, we had over 1 million visits per year, and this past year 2022, we're edging back to that mark. It's still not falling short. We over 650,000 visitors, but that number is really coming back with a vengeance. And we see people day in, day out, loads of tourists, loads of busloads of tourists coming to Yad Vashem to try to remember and to learn a little bit about the Holocaust while they're in Israel visiting.
Yad Vashem has many artifacts from the Holocaust years. Where do you get them?
From the Holocaust, the artifacts that we have at Yad Vashem come from a multitude of sources, of places, the ways that we collect them. I guess the most natural and the most straightforward way is actually from the community. People coming to Yad Vashem come in off the streets, really, literally, and say, here, this is something that I had from my mother, from my father, from my uncle. It was something that was in the attic, and unfortunately, my mother or my uncle passed away, and I don't know what to do with it, and I don't know whether it's something that's important or not. And so they come to Yad Vashem, and they really want to just to uncover and to learn a little bit about the artifacts or the documents. And then based on a little research that Yad Vashem does when it learns about a particular item, we then recommend that they donate these items to Yad Vashem for safekeeping so that they can be preserved and they can be maintained in optimal conditions so that they can be kept for posterity purposes and that they can be used in the mission that Yad Vashem has, which is to tell the world about the Holocaust.
Hmm. Your president is Danny Dayan. Any relation to former Israeli war hero and defense minister Moshe Dayan?
A cousin, a distant cousin.
Really?
A distant cousin, but Yad Vashem chairman Danny Dayan was the former consul general to New York from the state of Israel between 2016 and 2020, and he joined around a year and a half ago Yad Vashem. And under his stewardship, Yad Vashem has really, truly been on the international stage. He has elevated, especially now with this bringing this book of names to the United Nations, which is a truly remarkable feat, a historic feat, as I began saying at the beginning of the interview. And the fact of the matter is that Yad Vashem is at the moment we're going to be breaking out of the Mount of Remembrance, and we're going to be not only bringing and being a source for Holocaust education and remembrance in Israel, but also to be coming to each of these countries all around the world to bring our amazing assets and amazing resources in many different ways and forms, educationally, remembrance-wise, as well as awareness, to raise awareness in everywhere, in all over the world, in all four corners of the world. And so the United Nations is, I guess, the symbolic kickoff of that new project and that new initiative.
We're talking with Simi Allen about Yad Vashem.
Simi, before I forget, is admission free?
Admission is free. Since the pandemic, we have had to require reservations to be made, and there. But at the moment, admissions is free. You can reserve a slot to just to come to the to Yad Vashem, or you can then, if you choose to pay for an experienced tour guide, a Yad Vashem trained tour guide, to take you on a guided tour of the Holocaust History Museum and around the Mount of Remembrance. That does have a fee, but I would say that the fee is a very reasonably priced for the amount of information that you get during one of these tours.
And I want to tell our listeners, if you go, bring plenty of tissues with you.
Bring tissues so that you can wipe away the tears, but also bring your comfortable shoes, because there's a lot of walking involved as well.
Timmy, do you work in concert with the U.S. Holocaust Museum, Simon Wiesenthal Center, or other prominent groups involved in exposing the history and preserving the memory of the Holocaust?
Yad Vashem has international relations with all of the institutions you mentioned, and more. We work together to talk about the history. Each individual institution has a little bit of a unique perspective and a unique angle, but we all work together in order to tell the important story. And specifically with the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, we share archival documents, and we have a very good working relationship with them.
Jimmy, last year Yad Vashem commissioned Vessels of Light, which made its debut in Lithuania. Please tell us what that was.
The first ever attempt to create artwork and cultural, cultural experience. Yad Vashem, together with Lera Auerbach, a world-renowned composer, and Christina Ricci, we sponsored the commissioning of a new symphony called Symphony No. 6, Vessels of Light, which is a expression of a musical expression of in commemoration of Sugihara Chino Sugihara, which was one of the consul generals who acted during the Holocaust and the Righteous Among the Nations, recognized as Righteous Among the Nations many years later, but a Japanese consul general who, together with the Dutch Dutch honorary consul in Kovna, Lithuania, helped rescue many thousands of Jews and provide them with life-saving visas to escape the Nazis. And that exhibition, that's a symphony, did debut actually in November, this past November, in Kovna, which is the site where Sugihara issued those life-saving visas, and will be debuting in the United States in Carnegie Hall right after Yom HaShoah, which is observed on the 17th and 18th of April, and this is going to debut on the 19th of April in Carnegie Hall in New York City.
Simi, what is your bar and bat mitzvah program?
It's an excellent question. What we do is it's what we call is a twinning program, and Holocaust commemoration is very important for all ages, really. But as a young child, a boy is 13, a girl at 12 years old, as they transition into their adulthood life and become full-fledged members of the Jewish people, that remembrance takes on a very important and unique mission in there. And what we offer people and families who are celebrating this very important life cycle event to come to Yad Vashem, or to even do it remotely, but to receive and to be sent information and the identity of one individual, one child who was not lucky enough to survive the Holocaust, and to connect them in a very nice and not in a scary manner at all, but in a very very inspiring manner, to take on the identity and the memory of someone who was murdered during the Holocaust, and for that individual, for that bar or bat mitzvah girl or boy, to really bring them into their lives and to remember them at the moment of which is supposed to be a very, very happy and inspirational moment, and to take that opportunity to imbue some a sense of where they find themselves in the chain of history as a Jew and as a human being. So it is it's a truly remarkable experience and a truly remarkable program that individual people take and use in many different ways, and they experience the twinning process in a very unique manner. Some of them just come and they just have a brief ceremony when they receive the identity of the victim that they were matched with, that they were twinned with, and others really truly incorporate that memory and that individual, and even by going and visiting their home to those there where they were originally from, or reaching out to family members of those victims to try to really incorporate their memory into their current lives. So it's a really truly a remarkable experience, and one that we encourage, and we definitely hope that more and more people will take advantage of. And as I said, you don't have to come to Yad Vashem to benefit from this twinning program, especially since the pandemic. What Yad Vashem has been doing is shipping these packages to the people's homes, and in the package they receive a certificate with the identities of the person that they are being twinned with, and some biographical information, if possible, if there is a picture of that individual, and they get a little bit brief history of where that individual is from. So it really, truly can lend Holocaust commemoration to the next generation, and it really can inspire them to learn more, to identify themselves more with the memories and memory of the 6 million Jews that were murdered.
Okay, just a couple of minutes left. With the upcoming 75th anniversary of the State of Israel this spring, do any special events involve Yad Vashem?
So, not particularly, but Yad Vashem this year, this 2023, Yad Vashem is marking its 70th anniversary since its establishment in 1953. So 70 years to Yad Vashem, and always, as always, right before Israel marks its 75th anniversary this year, Yad Vashem will be marking Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Remembrance Day in Israel, as I said before, observed this year on April 17th and 18th. And so it's always an important time of the year to come to visit Yad Vashem. The Book of Names, in fact, is going to be traveling after February 17th. It's going to be dismantled here in New York, and will travel to Yad Vashem, as I said, and will be opening and debuting in Yad Vashem on March 28th, together with the President and Prime Minister.
How do travel listeners learn more about Yad Vashem?
I'm sorry?
How do travel listeners learn more about Yad Vashem? Is there a website?
Yad Vashem has a very rich website, www.yadvashem.org, and people should follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, Instagram, to really learn more about Yad Vashem activities.
Okay, our guest tonight has been Simi Allen of Yad Vashem in Jerusalem, Israel. Thank you, Simi, for being our guest. And next week
Thank
we'll be talking
so
with Rick Mata, author of 6 Hours Running for My Life in the Grand Canyon. This is Dan Schlossberg along with Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee saying good night and stay safe.